Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege of talking with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story, and I love it because she has the same name as me. So, hey Pam, how's it going?
Pretty good. Staying busy as always.
Yeah, it sounds like you always have a pretty busy life and a lot going on. So, to let other people in on that, could you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do to keep busy.
Yes, my name is Pamela Rupkeborg, except that I go by Pam. I'm 33, and I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. To stay busy, I work as an office manager. Plus, just recently, and I've started making scarves and selling those on the side, babysitting, trying to hang out with my friends when I find time, and always loving to hit the mall.
Okay, wow. So, you're right. You have a long list of things that keeps you busy. What type of an office do you work in?
I work in the office setting is actually a retail showroom that sells those video arcade games. Basically, whatever you can drop a quarter into, they sell. And my duties there include answering the phone, replying to emails, sending emails, scheduling service calls, scheduling deliveries. Sometimes I do a little bit of sales, but not much. And basically whatever else it takes to keep the place running.
Now, you said that you spend time answering the phones. How's that for you, being a person who stutters?
Well, when I first started working there, which was right after last national conference back in July, my stuttering was absolutely horrid. You could not. It was like I was blocking on every other word, if not every word. But now that I've gotten used to answering the phone, I'm pretty fluent.
Well, that's good, because I know a lot of people who stutter struggle really with the phone, because it's that pressure of not knowing what the other person on the other line, you know, looks like, or how they may be reacting to your stuttering. And I know sometimes people struggle with the time pressure of the phone too. So, well, it sounds like you pretty much have that under control now.
Yes, I do.
Do you tell people in your workplace or on the phone that you stutter?
Sometimes I do. There there was a situation that I probably should have, but because I was so mad at the customer, and this was a conversation that was being held via the telephone, I just couldn't get the words out, you know, to let them know that you're talking to a stutterer, and you need to give me time and be patient. But this customer, long story short, was livid about this new video game that they had purchased and that was delivered, and they were taking their emotions out on me.
Do you think it had to do with the fact that you were stuttering, or was it just because the person was just so frustrated with the other issue?
Honestly, the way the conversation was being held, I really did believe that it did have to do with my stuttering, because of some things that was said during the conversation. This has been probably about 2 months ago, so I don't remember, you know, what was said, but I remember enough of it to still believe that, you know, some of it was to do with my stuttering.
Have you talked to that person since then?
No, and I've not had to have any contact with that person since. Because we got the problem that was at hand, we got that resolved, and so we haven't heard anything back from them since.
Well, that's good on both ends, that you got the problem resolved and that you don't have to deal with the person again.
Yeah.
I guess that's one good thing about sometimes being involved in customer service and in retail, because often you only run into people once, so you don't really have to worry about, oh, what are they going to think about me or this or that, because chances are you won't interact with them again. But what about people that you do interact with regularly?
The ones that I interact with on a regular basis consists of about 3 to 5 coworkers, and they are wonderful. They're patient, and they understand enough to know that they need to be patient with me. You know, if I block or if I get stuck on a ward. Because I got this job through a friend of mine. Before I had accepted the job, right after she had accepted, and I had accepted the job, she had told majority of the coworkers that I was a person who stuttered, and you know, she explained to them to be patient with me. So that had actually made my transition a little easier for me. the customers that I deal with that come into the showroom, you know, when it's one-on-one customer service and the person's right in front of you, majority of the time, you know, they're going to be very patient and, you know, give you the time you need, especially when you're working with them purchasing these high-end pieces of merchandise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Now, when you said that before you started the job, your friend told the people in the workplace that you stutter, and that made it easier for you. I don't know if I would have liked that. I think I'm the type of person who likes to do that advertising myself, because I think I would have been worried that they might have said something that wasn't true about me. So I probably would have preferred to do that myself. But it sounds like it worked out, and it did make your transition smoother.
Yes, majority of the time, I would have preferred to be the one to tell the people that I stutter. However, the person that got me this job is someone that I trust and we're pretty close friends. And she has a pretty good grasp on what stuttering is. So it didn't really faze me this time.
Good. How long have you stuttered?
I've been told that I actually started stuttering somewhere between the ages of 3 and 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had other speech impediments that I was receiving therapy for when I was that young. And during therapy, my therapist had noticed, you know, I had started stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, you know, they didn't really know as much as what they know now about stuttering. And so she backed off the therapy that we were working on to see if that helped, you know, calm my stuttering down any. Because that's what she thought caused it. And so I, you know, of course, don't remember the exact moment that I started stuttering, but I do remember working with that particular speech therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've stuttered ever since.
So that's interesting. The speech therapist thought that maybe the therapy that you were getting for other speech concerns might have brought on the stuttering?
Yes.
Did you ever get any specific stuttering therapy, like later or as an adult?
And I stayed in speech therapy through grade school, middle school, and part of my freshman year of high school. But the speech therapy I received was through the public schools, and I am like many others that I have heard on, you know, different podcasts and people I've talked to who have said that the therapy that they received during, you know, grade school and public schools didn't really seem to help. Mm. And the therapist that I worked with, majority of them were great, but there was also that one or two that I had that really had no clue what stuttering was.
So did you get to teach them about it?
That's been so long ago, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, like in junior high, the only thing I remember doing during speech therapy was they would take me out of class to have therapy. And my therapist had talked with some of the special education teachers, and they arranged it to where I would practice talking by helping, by almost tutoring another student during my speech therapy session.
Oh, cool.
So, that was fun, you know, because I got to work with somebody else, that was my age, and who also had some type of an impairment.
Mm-hmm.
So that student understood, you know, that yes, there are differences, but yet, you can help one and another no matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah. When was the first time you ever met another person who stutters?
The first time I met somebody else who stuttered was actually when I went to the Cleveland, Ohio conference back in, what was that?
2010, I think.
10, yeah. That's when I met the first person. Oh, that's when I thought that I had met the first person who also stuttered besides myself. However, as fate would have it, a couple months later, we had to go visit some family who lives in Illinois, because we went up there for a wedding, and I found out that one of my cousins who lives in Champaign, Illinois, he also stutters.
Oh, wow.
And my mom, the funny part of it is my mom thinks that she told me this, you know, many times. But, of course, me being me, I never recall it.
Mm.
You know, so I really did know somebody else who stuttered, but didn't really realize it.
Yeah. So What was it like for you at that first conference in the and we're talking about the National Stuttering Association annual conference. What was that like for you in 2010, where all of a sudden you were surrounded by hundreds of people who stutter?
Well, after making the 4-hour drive up to Cleveland by myself, and not getting to Cleveland until midnight,
Oh, God.
the night before conference was to start, a lot of people thought that after doing something like that, and I would be exhausted that first day, which I kind of was, but once I got going into the conference and went into the first session I went to, which was one of the meet and greets for first timers that they had that year. And I had met this one girl who's sitting directly behind me, and her name's Miranda. And come to find out, she also drove herself to Cleveland. Not only that, but she lives right across the river from me in Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
So, and I'm talking about Miranda Smith, who has been a huge powerhouse for the Cincinnati chapter of the National Stuttering Association. And that friendship has lasted, and still continues to this day. And I s still in kept going through conference, and by the end of the first day, that's when I realized, that I wasn't alone, and the NSA was just a huge, huge family.
Now, had you felt that? Had you felt that you were alone with your stuttering before that experience?
To a point, yes, I did. Just because, like I said, prior to Cleveland, I did not realize that I knew anybody else who stuttered. And so I never really thought that anyone else really got what I was going through, to get my words out, to be able to communicate on a daily basis. There were a few of my friends years ago, that at different points, had actually said, they kind of felt sorry for me. And I was kind of taken aback for a minute when they said that. I was like, and that's when I explained to them, I was like, there's no reason you know, for you to feel sorry for me. I was like, the way that I view my stuttering is that it was a gift from God. And once they realized how my views were on my stuttering, you know, then they started processing their thoughts and they started coming, or they started being able to see my views.
Mm-hmm. Have you always felt that way personally, that your stuttering has been a gift?
It took me probably till somewhere during my late high school, beginning of college years before I really started feeling like that and believing that.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I don't remember the exact moment when, you know, I really began feeling like it was a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think part of it has something to do with how I was raised.
You've had a pretty strong and supportive family.
Yes.
Lucky. Very lucky, because a lot of people haven't had that, or, you know, depending on the time that it was when they were growing up. For example, with me and my family, we never, ever, ever talked about stuttering, ever. So not only did I not know other people who stuttered, but I felt so alone with it, because it was like taboo with my family. And when I first started stuttering, again, I was told when, because I don't remember either, but I was told that I started stuttering around 5. My father would scream and yell at me to tell me to stop that, or we don't talk like that, or, you know, shut up or spit it out, things like that. So I did not feel supported from my family. So I always grew up thinking that there was something wrong with me, that I was bad, that I was flawed, and that's why I tried to keep it hidden for most of my life, because I got that early message that there was something wrong. So if you were if you grew up with a supportive family, that's very lucky.
I'm not going to deny that, you know, I've been told by some family members, you know, to spit it out, or take your time, and stuff like that as well. But my mama was my rock. She was my backbone. She was my supporter. And she's the one that really gave me the strength to keep on keeping on.
That's great that you had that real rock, that real support, because I firmly believe that when you have somebody that supports and loves you unconditionally, it's so much easier to face any challenge that we have. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about your involvement with your local NSA chapter.
Okay, so right after the Cleveland conference, about 6 weeks later, myself and three other members of the NSA started the Cincinnati chapter.
Oh, you started your own chapter.
Yes.
Okay.
And since then, and our chapter has grown so much so that we've actually helped Louisville, Kentucky start a chapter. And we are also involved in Fluency Friday, which is a children's program that Children's Hospital and one of the local speech therapists put on for kids who stutter. And it's in November. I'm not 100% sure on you know, what goes on during the program and stuff like that. But it's kind of like a day camp for these kids and to be with others who also stutter. And we've helped in various aspects of that program. And just this last year, one of the speech therapists had went up to Tom Shawstein and had asked, you know, if there was a possibility of starting another chapter here in Cincinnati on the northern end. And basically, he's like, as long as you can guarantee, you know, at least five people to come, we're up for it, mm-hmm. you know. And at the time, and I was the chapter leader for the Cincinnati, the original Cincinnati chapter. And this all happened from November to December of last year. A week later, we had the go-ahead to say, okay, we're going to start another Cincinnati chapter. A week after that, I had that feeling that it was time for me to step down as leader from the Cincinnati chapter and step up as the new leader for this the Cincinnati North chapter. And we are actually having our very first meeting this coming Thursday.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting.
So.
Now, and we're going to have to start winding down because the time has flown so quickly. But how do you get the word out? How do your chapters advertise and to let people know that there is support available?
We have done a newscast on the International Day of Stuttering Awareness. We have Facebook. A lot of what we're finding is a lot of getting the word out comes through word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fortunate that we have so many college universities near us that they can, that have speech programs that we're pulling from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how about getting wood out.
Wow, terrific. So it's sounds like you're really involved in a lot of good things for stuttering awareness.
Yes.
Awesome. One last question. What would you say is the most important thing that you've learned through your own journey with stuttering?
The one thing that I learned is to don't let other people's ignorance get to you. Turn it around and make it a positive learning experience for that person.
I like that. I like the way you said that. And that's like a really good wind down, a really good way to end this conversation. Thank you so much for being a guest and for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.